Today's episode of the Sports Talk Garage podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing you with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you're going to get paid when you include an ad from Podgo. We recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Now, let's get the episode started.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage podcast, where we discuss and debate the latest news and hot takes from the court and the ball fields to the locker room and front office. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those oversized contracts, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Talk Garage. I'm your host, Matt, along with my co-host, David. We were excited to get John back on for the first time in a long time, but unfortunately some technical difficulties have given him some struggles this evening, and Mike is down with the plague. So, not literally everybody, just, you know,
he's down with the sickness. There.
So, we are going to try running this just by ourselves again. We'll try to give you a little bit of debate. Dave is not allowed to agree with everything I say, just so that we can make this more entertaining.
We'll see what happens. You never know.
We'll see what happens. All right, so we are deep in it now. We're season 3, episode 11. We had to do a replay of one of our favorites last week, so let's see if we can get some new content going. David, how's your week going so far?
Gosh, you know what? Since we were last here, it has been crazy. I had a crazy storm come through, lost power at my house for about 3 days, which was always fun when power goes out and you're stuck in the darkness. Work's busy. Life is busy for me, for all of us, as a matter of fact. So it's good to be back here, get a little time away from reality and just enjoy chatting for a bit.
Absolutely. Well, I will say my household has been going through the crud probably for about the last week. So we've been, you know, just kind of trying to keep indoors and, you know, do the smart thing. And outside of that, it seems like, you know, another day of COVID, except at least we have some sports back in our lives.
Thank goodness.
College football starting to kind of gain some traction and ground, I guess, as we keep moving. NBA starting to do their bit with the off season. I was wrong again. The Dodgers won the national championship. I mean, we all kind of knew it, but it was fun pulling for an underdog.
And no one's as sad as Mike, though. At least he got one championship with the Rays.
Right. He had the really good championship that everybody was, you know, in my opinion, everybody was looking for. Because those two had a very good matchup. I just thought the Major League Baseball piece was very difficult to beg for because the Rays aren't as high-profile a team as the Lightning are. So, okay. Let's see what else. So is there anything else I've missed that we've had updates on?
No, man, sports are going, baseball's done, hockey's done, basketball's done. Everything's
football. I feel like we're
right
mainly
now.
In the football yeah. deal, right?
Okay. Basketball will be back in a month and a half or so. It's a quick turnaround. Yep.
Football, high school football is doing their state championship runs because most of them are ready to be done if they were playing. In Ohio, we've already been in that multiple, and a lot of seasons are already done. I think they're all completely done now. So, I mean, there's a lot of kind of change, so we'll keep up with the NFL. But college is going to be a big deal as that comes into swing. You know, we've watched the SEC and the ACC, right? So now it's down to the Big Ten, which has played a couple games. And what, Pac-12 starts this weekend?
Pac-12 is coming up in a few days. So get some games under their belt, which will be good to have all the major conferences competing at the same time for once.
Not to go too far off our script, but, you know, just for effect here, now that we are entering flu season, I mean, we're seeing a lot of crazy things happen. I'm not getting into anything that goes on with politics. God help us all. But as you take a look at this, is the normal time of year where everybody gets sick. I just want to draw our attention to this again. Pac-12 is getting ready to start. Big Ten is late coming in. Trevor Lawrence is out for a couple games with COVID. There are what, two major quarterbacks inside the Big Ten that have
Yeah,
COVID and
it's
they're out.
slowly rearing its ugly head in college athletics, and it's inevitable.
So I know this is any given Saturday. Are they even going to be able to get a legitimate season, or are we looking at somebody like a legitimate run by like a Brigham Young if
You
they
know
can stay
what?
healthy?
I think colleges, just in general, are taking it serious enough just to keep students on campus. When you look at the sports teams, they are taking every precautionary measure that they can to continue to have a full season. I don't expect that to change at all. Sure, when you have a team of 100 guys, I guess one or two are bound to get it at some point just by happenstance of being in a class with somebody, being in a dorm, being out on the town doing whatever. But I'm very shocked at how few student athletes have, come down with this virus so far, which is really good. And I hope it stays that way so we can continue to have a full season and, get to a championship game with some big name marquee teams.
Yeah, and my wife just told me that they tested over 21,000 students at Ohio State, and they've only had about 100 cases.
Not bad.
I mean, that's positive, right? That's
Yeah,
great news.
it's good. And that's just normal students, not student athletes. That's just your everyday student attending class.
Right, that's the population.
Yeah.
So I guess my concern is, well, not even concern. I think it could get exciting. Let's change it that way. This could get really stinking exciting.
Well, I mean,
I didn't
it's.
realize. I mean, Cincinnati has snuck into this. Brigham Young has snuck into this. Florida Gators have snuck into this, and they're playing Georgia this weekend, right?
They sure are. And
Which is.
Georgia has struggled, so there's a possibility. They could lose two after their loss to
Yeah.
Alabama.
Let's really dangle the carrot out there and say that Notre Dame may actually have a chance to do something this
Hey,
year.
you know what? I said a couple weeks ago, if Notre Dame can run the table, they have a chance to be there. Well, it just happens to line up perfectly. Trevor Lawrence is not going to be playing Notre Dame, so. I mean, that's exactly what they need to have an opportunity to go undefeated in the ACC season.
Absolutely. Okay, so now that we've gone way off topic, I guess I just got excited because college football is all the passion, in my opinion. NFL, these guys are paid to play. College, unless you're a top 100 recruit or maybe even a top 300, anywhere from Division III out to the NAIA, back to Division II, Division I, the passion and the fact that you are a dime a dozen. Like,
True.
if you get hurt, next guy up. There is no waiting in college. And high school being very similar, but just in a much smaller numbers game. This is just an exciting time of year, in my opinion. And this
Yeah.
could be the year that the crazy happens. So I think we'll just
You
keep on that
know what? We'll
slogan.
keep a track on it and anything goes in 2020, so I can't say I won't be surprised, but nothing should surprise us in sports this year.
Right. Okay, so let's get down to business if we haven't already. We had some interesting stuff that we talked about. I guess that was kind of our weird preemptive, but let's go ahead and start with Trevor Lawrence just because we mentioned him. David, Trevor Lawrence has now come out, and I think he's not liking what he sees in the NFL.
I can't blame him necessarily. No.
I mean, we've had a lot of high profile quarterbacks. I can think a couple right off the top of my head, being the Manning brothers, decide that they don't like what's coming up in that first round and make some changes. Peyton being one of the most infamous, because he was supposed to go to the Jets, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is seriously a replication of what Peyton did back in 96, 97. Jets were number one. And Peyton's thinking, I don't really want to go play for them. I'm just going to stick around in Tennessee for another season. Well, looks like Trevor Lawrence might be taking a page out of that book and saying, you know what? Clemson's not so bad. I'm doing well here. Life's good. Why go to New York when another team could draft me next year?
Yeah, I certainly think that there have been so many complaints on the Jets, right, on how their entire organization is run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just the coaching, they've had so many problems over the last few years. And I think Sam Darnold was really the last high profile, you know, quotation marks pickup they've had at quarterback,
and
which turned into nothing.
Yeah. And not really to any fault of his own. It's just who he's surrounded with, from his teammates, the coaching staff. They're not developing well. And he's still young and has some time, but he's kind of teetering on that bust, you know, high profile, and hasn't done a whole lot. And that tends to be what happens when you go to the Jets. I mean, people make fun of the Browns, but the Jets are still there. They don't do much.
Right. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. This isn't, this isn't a Disney movie.
And,
well, this is real life.
Something that's crazy to me is the NFL is a business first and foremost. I think every player knows you might have a contract, but if you get cut or if you get traded, it's not personal. It's a business, and they're doing it for a business reason. But Trevor Lawrence, he's kind of that once in a decade player that comes out, and he's kind of holding the chips here. And Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports had something that really hit home. He said he could be a smart future pro laying the groundwork for a pre-draft negotiation, but not about money, about destination. His ability to return to school and show leverage for an incoming rookie is off the table. How many other potential rookies coming in have this much leverage to say, you know what? I'm going to alter the franchise that's going to select me, and they're not going to get me. I'm going to stay in school another year. I mean, what other franchise is going to be like, you know what? We can't do anything about it other than continue to lose, and hopefully you decide not to go back to Clemson.
Here's what gets me about him, and I told you, is he a good quarterback? Absolutely. Is he what everybody makes him out to be? Hasn't sold me on that.
What does he have to do to sell you?
Okay, but go back to your last comment.
Okay.
He's a program guy. He needs to go to New England and be a program guy. He's not necessarily like the top. Okay, I'm just going to make my point here, because let's look at this. 2020. Joe Burrow, and you know, let's even throw Tua, because Tua looked pretty good this week for his introduction.
Sure, yeah.
Joe Burrow's been growing, you know, leaps and bounds, and we haven't even really seen much out of Jalen Hurts yet. Nothing out of Jordan Love. So you know, there's some good quarterbacks who are still sitting back there. 2019, Kyler Murray, who is the number one pick for both baseball and football. And he's been murdering it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Daniel Jones, I think, is just in a bad place. Dwayne Haskins in a very bad place. Drew Locke has come out of nowhere. Gardner Minshew, not the all-star stud, but he's a solid guy. 2018, again, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. So not much that year. But Lamar Jackson kills it for a couple years. He's slowing down a little bit now as they're changing up who's on the offense and looking for some more weapons for him, but still, that's a tough one. 2017, Trubisky, John, was a complete flop, as I told you. Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Two studs.
Two absolute studs. 2016, Goff was not good. Wentz had a solid pickup until he got injured, and he's still playing very well. Dak Prescott had a pretty solid start. So, you know, and then you go back to some guys back in 2015. All right. I think I made my point. Every time you talk about this, you know, God's gift to mankind quarterback coming out of Clemson next year, supposedly, maybe 2 years, this is who he's competing against.
know
What
what?
do you mean he's like the best quarterback ever? Why do we have to hype it that hard?
I think he's the top quarterback in college. I do think he has the ability to come into an NFL team, maybe not go from like nothing to playoffs all of a sudden, but be a solid starter. And certainly he's got time to build. No one's going to expect, the stars out of the rookie because rookies are going to make mistakes. But he's got the size. He's got the prototypical quarterback build. He has the athleticism. He's got the stats. I mean, even in high school, he did this too, and he's doing it in college. I see no reason why that won't translate to his professional career in the NFL.
Sure, I'm just talking like I think we've overhyped him.
So what?
I'm going to continue saying this. I think he's overhyped.
So even with all the stats, the championship, everything he's done, what do you have to do to earn all this hype that he gets?
Well, first of all, he's playing the ACC, which isn't. We saw when he's not in there, Boston College, and again, they were missing a couple defensive starters as well, but it's Clemson. Everybody wants to commit to Clemson.
Sure.
This is Ohio State. This is Alabama. These are like the top groupings. Everybody would love to commit to these places and get their playing time, but. Okay, so they're missing a couple defensive guys, so they should have had some guys that are stepped up ready to go, and they do. They still have their starter in at the running back, and we're still not, like Boston College comes in almost like rips apart Clemson. Clemson barely took back over. I mean, they had a great comeback in the second half, but they barely kept alive. Boston College basically just ran out of juice. Their offensive line almost got their quarterback murdered because they were just tired. They were gassed. But we'll see what they do against Notre Dame without him there. So I'm still waiting on him to make. I'll go back to Ohio State last year. John, keep your whatever yourself opinions. But when they played Ohio State last year, he was very well trained for how to beat the defense, and he said it pretty straight out. It had to do with when they chose too early from the linebacking staff or linebacker core to come up field, there was going to be a big open hole. And he did a great job of executing on those plays. But when it came to throwing into coverage, and I can't remember the name of the guy that got ejected, it changed, in my opinion, quite a bit. Then he goes into LSU. Like, honestly, I think if they would have played Alabama with a solid play out of Tua, if he was healthy, I don't think he would have beat Alabama. Joe Burrow beat everybody.
Joe
Joe
Burrow
Burrow
completely murdered
had a
college football
solid
last year.
group, but he murdered college football. I don't see Trevor Lawrence murdering football.
Well, I say if Notre Dame can come in and win, I think that just might just show again, the importance of that quarterback right there.
I
Which he started
agree.
the game. So.
Again, is he going to be, do I think he's going to be a good college quarterback? Yeah. Do I think they need to sit him his first year, or at least the first, X amount of games that they did for Tua, and let him come in and warm up a little bit? Yeah. But let's get
Probably.
back to our point here real quick. Is he making a bad decision?
So I've read a few articles on both sides of this, and honestly, I feel bad. I can't remember who wrote this, but they said he should man up and go to the Jets and turn the franchise around. It's New York. He's built for New York. If he is as good a quarterback as people make him out to be, go prove it in New York. I was like, you know what? That's fair. But at the same time, I think he wants to set himself up for a good situation for his long-term prospects of being on a team that's going to protect him, that's going to develop him, and to help him win and get stats in the NFL. So I don't know if there's necessarily a right or wrong option here. I can understand both sides of why you should go and be the number one pick for the Jets, but also, why you should stay and put yourself in a better situation. If I were him, I'd probably stick in school another year and enjoy school and just kind of enjoy life because you got it made. You're the guy on campus. You're the guy in college football right now. Enjoy it while you can. The NFL will be there in a year.
Okay, so, but I guess what I go back to is let's talk about the other Manning brother. When it came down to draft, right? Chargers selected Eli Manning number one overall.
Yeah, he forced his way
There's
out
a
there.
great picture of Archie, his mom, and what's his name from the Chargers all standing with him. And you can see Mama not happy.
She
When
doesn't
Mama
want her
not
boy out in
happy,
LA. No.
I remember watching this draft and kind of laughing like she is upset. There's something very wrong here. I mean, it was just bad, right? But he got traded to
Yeah.
where,
That's
his
weird.
family said that they wanted him to be. Is this something where, I know he doesn't have the pedigree of the Manning family, but is this something where Trevor Lawrence goes, because you, and here's the other thing, you only get so many years to play football. And unless you are, I don't even know. Think of the long-winded ones. I mean, Tom Brady is the example right now.
Tom
Unless you're like a
Brady.
Tom Brady, where you're in your 40s and still slinging the ball pretty strong, are you giving up your time to that you could be making a bunch of money right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Dak Prescott. He bet on himself to get that big contract and got hurt. Well, if he stays in Clemson in a year and tears an ACL, sure, that might affect his play down the road. But he could also go to the Jets and say, I'm not playing for you, but you can trade me and get some draft capital for them. So maybe he could help out the Jets. I don't know. I'd probably stick around, put myself in a better situation long term, take that risk of another year. If he does stay, he's out of school once the season's done in December. He's not sticking around for the spring semester. So time wise, he only has about one calendar year left in college if he decides to stay around another year. And then he's gone off to some training facility down in Florida or Arizona or something.
For sure. In my personal opinion, go to the draft. Well, start talking to the NFL teams that are going to take you. The ones that have the cap space, the ones that can put it there, because your agent is the one that's going to know what's going on and start fronting everywhere and having those conversations.
Sure.
So, if that's me, I'm starting those conversations. I mean, you only get your college guys for that many years and then you're done, but you're also looking at your career where you're making your money, and this is your time. So go make the money. Get somebody that's going to trade up for you. I mean, it's definitely not the Bengals, but heck, even Burrow's pulled the Bengals around. So if they're that good, then the Bengals are going to try to put that behind you. The problem is there's just a lot more going on in their back office. It's miserable with the Jets. Okay.
Moving
Anything else to
on.
add to that one?
No, I'm excited for him to get back on the field, and I'm really
Only need
excited to see
another
what his
week to
decision's
wait.
going to be. Every time the Jets lose, it's just another week of him moving closer to staying at Clemson.
Yep, pretty much. All right, so let's switch gears a little bit. Tony La Russa is back in Chicago.
Tony who? Tony La
Exactly.
Russa?
Haven't seen that name in a long time. I don't even know if I pronounce that right.
Yeah, Lurs is back in Chicago, back in his old stomping grounds. When this,
I think it's his original stomping grounds in
yeah,
the White Sox, isn't it?
from 1979, 41 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
So when I first heard that, my first thought was Tony Lurs from the Cardinals from a decade ago, because he has not been a MLB manager in 9 years. He retired, quote unquote, 9 years ago when the St. Louis won the championship, and he's been involved in the front office a little bit, but he's not managed any games in 9 years. And all of a sudden, Chicago brings in a 76-year-old man. Yes, that's right, 76 to be the manager. And sure, he has every stat you can imagine for a manager, which puts him in the upper echelon of managers. But it's a bit of a head scratcher for me, especially when fans aren't really allowed in stadiums. I was seeing if fans are coming back, it might be cool to see him down in the dugout. Like, hey, there's Tony Wilson still managing. But no one's in the stadium, so I don't really understand how this makes sense for the team, other than, Jerry Reinsdorf has said his greatest mistake is firing him, so he's just bringing him back for round two.
No, I think you drop this one stat and you say that as long as he's willing to coach, you let the man coach. He's got the third most managerial victories in baseball.
Yeah, and baseball's been around for a while. Something that I read, which was absolutely amazing, thanks to Ryan Spader for actually doing the math on this. MLB has been around since 1869. The National League started in 1876, American League in 1901. He has managed or coached over 5,000 games, so he has been a part of 2.3% of all Major League Baseball games in the history of the sport. That is a crazy high number for a sport that's been around for 151 years. 2.3%. Yeah, so it's like a nostalgia move right here. I don't know how he's going to connect with the young guys. They're going to look at this grandpa essentially walking in and be like, all right, guys, let's go do some calisthenics and stretch here. Mean, how do you build a relationship with these 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds who are making tons of money, who have no nutritionist and coaches and health coaches and everything you can think of? You got this old school manager coming in. I wish John were here to put his completely unbiased thoughts on this, but I just don't see how this makes sense because it's
Well,
not a long term.
I think the Washington Post made a great line. They said, "You don't win 2,728 games without understanding how to get your players to buy into what you're selling."
You know what? Yeah, there's some truth there. But those days are, I'm still in trouble because those days are gone. Like, obviously, this is not a long-term move. I mean, the White Sox said it's a multi-year deal, which could be as short as 2 years, but they didn't really release any terms. But when you're 76, you're not looking at, oh, yeah, he's going to be the manager long-term. We've got him for the next decade. I mean, how much can you really do traveling around, staying in hotels, on planes, different cities every, few nights? Because baseball, they're always on the move. How
The
do you do that?
romanticism of the game. I mean, let's talk about who are some of our guys are right now. Jim Boeheim is turning 76 this month for Syracuse basketball. Mike Krzyzewski is 73. And the only concern, again, from the Washington Post, I thought they put this the best. Only concern their team's fans have about their age is that they'll retire in the not too distant future.
Yeah.
Dusty Baker, 71, returned to baseball and managed the Houston Astros out of the, cheating scandal over the past season. There, I don't know that. I think it's just more of a, and I agree with you. You're traveling, you're on airplanes, you're doing all these things, but at the same time, if you have a love of the game and that's, where you like to spend your time, then it's not work. Your body doesn't feel
Yeah,
that way. You get up and go run.
that's true. I feel like this is just Jerry Reinsdorf's way of making up for the mistake of firing him, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, whatever it was. And not necessarily, this is the best for the organization. This is just, oh yeah, this was a mistake. I'm going to correct it way later. But I mean, he brought in a guy who knows what he's doing. As you said, he has the third most victories all time. He only needs, I think, 35, 36 victories to move into second place, which he'll get next season. So he's got three World Series, four-time Manager of the Year. He knows what he's doing. I just think it's, a little too late to bring this guy back.
No, I think it's the other way around. I think LaRussa, I'm sure, got together and they had their conversation, said, look, I want to finish out. If I'm going to finish out, I want it to be on a high note from where I started. If you're willing to stick your nose into this and let it happen, then let's put it together and let's try. And let's be honest, this could be the best thing for the White Sox. They have been up and coming for a while. The Cubs have had their time in the sun over the last several seasons where they've had great seasons,
They're declining.
and it's time for the White Sox to have a run. John, we're backing you here. We'd like to see the White Sox get after it.
John, the White Sox fan, season ticket holder as well. So we'll have to get his thoughts on this next week, see how he he feels about Larissa coming back home to Chicago to coach his team.
That's it. All right. So with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break. This is a little bit longer session for us. We'll give a little bit of time, station identification, and our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Support for the Sports Talk Garage comes from Manscaped, the best in men's grooming. It's time to gear up and give yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. Yes, I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. The Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology and is also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside the brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which also includes the Crop Preserver, Crop Reviver, and Boxers. Tis the season to give yourself, your dad, brother, and all your friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with our code PODCAST20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com using our code PODCAST20.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Garage podcast listeners. This is Matt and David, my co-host, with me as usual. Hope you guys really enjoyed the information we had going over some college football. You know, me kind of still putting some shade on Trevor Lawrence and talking about Tony La Russa, which is going to be the greatest move for the White Sox in ages. David. Had some crazy fights going on this weekend. Did somebody put something in these athletes' Cheerios on the football field this week? Or is,
you know,
this...
some of them maybe ate too many Wheaties out of that Wheaties box. And dude, I don't know, but both college and pro guys on the field are just getting after it. I don't know if it's just everything going on or everything just colliding on the same weekend, which is hilarious, but yeah. Fights all around, which is funny to see, and on the football field.
Is this just hockey. I'm halfway concerned if this is like pent up aggression because of not being able to start the season normally, or if this is something that is because of all the injuries, because of just the fact that it's any given Sunday now more than ever, or Saturday, or whatever you want. How do you? You know, kind of justify all this.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, since we have college and pro, I can see it a little easier in college when you got, you know, 18 to 22 year old guys. They're maybe not as mature as the professionals. But when you have it happening in multiple teams in different games, then you have it in the pros all on the same weekend. That's just, I don't know what's going on. Something's in the water.
Well, let's talk real quick. I'm going to start this off by going back to, start of October with the Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate incident. Because that made some big news.
Got some family drama going on.
Had some drama going on from outside. And let's go ahead and skip forward to, Saturday night. Florida Gators versus Mizzou.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I haven't seen an entire set of benches empty. I can't even tell you. I think the last time I personally remember that happening was when I was playing Division II football. And I think I was either a freshman or a sophomore, and the coaches looked at us because we were halfway staring like, do we get in on this or not? I don't know what we're supposed to do. And you can see us staring around, and the coaches like come running over, like grab some of the star players because they're trying to keep people from getting kicked out. They're like, if you guys walk onto that field, you can say goodbye to having legs on Monday. You know what? We'll just call it tomorrow. We'll all just bring everybody in and
bring
it. Okay. Oh, yeah. So anyway, this one got interesting. And if you go back and watch the play, it was at the end of the first half. And this is what you want as a quarterback. This is what you want to see from your offensive lineman, hands down. Florida Gator quarterback Kyle Trask. Takes a step back into the pocket, takes a step forward, releases. Again, last play of the half, no questions asked. A defensive guy comes, defensive tackle, Trajan Jeffcoat, comes flying in. Now, you know, this is where you start looking. If they're going to hit that late, now you're looking for, is this something where they're going to get ejected for targeting?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we're talking the ball's gone 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. And every defender wants to put that last second hit on a quarterback just to say, I'm here. When you come back out, I'm going to hit you again. And you're not going to want to come back out, or you're going to be nervous to come out. You know, this guy takes a slam dunk. I mean, he runs in, shoulder down, put his head down a little bit. Now he turned to the side and hit just with his shoulder. But man, did he put a hit on that quarterback. Nasty hit. So immediately the offensive linemen turn around and start fighting with the defenders. I mean, just getting after it. Next thing you know, the entire benches start emptying. The coaches got into it. The coaches got into a shouting match to the point where Dan Mullen is screaming at Coach Eliah Drinkwitz. Dude, is this something that you're proud of, or is this something where you have to, like, and I'm not talking about trying to make a statement just based on keeping everybody happy in the media or whatever. If that really happened, are you denouncing that, or are you going to praise the fact that your offensive lineman basically stood up for your quarterback?
So I think there's two things here. You always want your offensive lineman to stand up for your quarterback. I mean, their job on the field in the game is to protect the quarterback. And if somebody's coming in for a late hit, you got to make them aware that that's not tolerated. We're going to stand up for our quarterback. I think some of this may stem from just the week prior in the Cowboys game. Quarterback Andy Dalton took a nasty hit in the head and he was down. And nobody did anything about it. Nobody came to check on him. None of the offensive linemen stood up for him. They always kind of looked at him like, ooh, he doesn't look so good. So I can imagine once that tape was out, every college coach was probably telling their offensive linemen, this does not happen on this team. If your quarterback gets hit, you go get the guy. You go get the other team. We stick up for each other around here. We're a band of brothers. Because I don't know what happened in Dallas, but that's not what you would expect. So maybe it's just fresh in their mind after seeing that play in the NFL last week and that, hey, we're sticking up for him. And maybe coaches got in on it too, just with that, well, we told our guys this, so we got to put our money where our mouth is and go with it.
Well, I know we were always taught playing on the offensive line, as you said, protect the quarterback. And, you know, that's your main line. If you're a top 10 team at this point, you definitely can't be without that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I kind of brought this up, which I thought was interesting, Dan Mullen gets fined, Coach Mullen gets fined $25,000 after the fact.
Okay.
Three guys get ejected, which means they have a half-game suspension walking into the next game. Again, any given Saturday, right?
Sure.
So let's see. Zach Carter and Antoine Powell – from Florida are ejected. Trey Williams is ejected out of Missouri so far. Then at the end of the game or after the fact, the videotape went back and was reviewed, and that threw in linebacker, or Missouri had two more guys. So linebacker Chad Bailey and offensive lineman Dylan Spencer. Oh, sorry. And defensive lineman Markell Utsi. So you have, what is that, six guys that are going to be sitting out for half a game?
Yeah.
Not to mention Mullen, I read, was the second person to be, or the second coach to be fined $25,000, which, you know, school will cover that, whatever. But that's something to be said. And I forget who the other one was, but there somebody from the SEC, I believe, one of the head coaches left a comment about the officiating on Twitter, and he got fined $25,000. So, again, I don't know what's in the water here, but that takes care of college. Let's go in the NFL.
Ooh, got some doozies.
So, for fun, let's start with the Steelers or the Ravens. Deontay Johnson, coming off of one of the best games he's had last week, hasn't received the ball once in the first half. Actually, he didn't receive it till the fourth end of the fourth quarter was the first time he got a ball or even really a look. So he and Marcus Peters from the Ravens are getting into it over and over and over. eventually they got into a sideline scrap and some teammates got involved because it was on a sideline. And next thing you know is Matt Judon, linebacker for the Ravens, comes flying up to, you know, kind of try to stand up for his teammate, because I think Deontay started that whole mess, if I remember right. And he starts swinging and pushing people off because now people are trying to separate him. Next thing you know, referee gets a little close and he's just swinging away and he made contact with the referee and he gets bumped.
Yeah, can't do that.
Well, they've already got multiple players out injured. Now you've got a guy getting tossed.
You know what? Even in fights, you got to be aware because, I mean, you can't touch a ref. Even if it's unintentional, the refs will throw you out. They don't care. And
right.
I agree to that. They don't have the padding, the helmets, so they're not protected. But still, I mean, if you're going to fight, at least fight the other team and make sure you're conscious about your surroundings and who's there, not just start swinging wildly, because that's when things could get dangerous, or, you know, you could break a hand doing something if you're not careful, if you're hitting the wrong thing there.
Absolutely. And honestly, if you go back and watch it, I don't think it was intentional. I think the referee was just kind of at a point like, I'm going to go ahead and get his attention now. We're done. And it cost him.
Going. Sure.
It did cost them. They lost the game in the end. And when you're missing a star linebacker, that's – but do you go in and say something to your team this week about, you know, not does the entire NFL make a statement past even the coaches to say we're not going to do this week? No more fights. I know you guys are grown adults and need to handle your business, but no more.
I don't know if the NFL makes a statement. If this continues on, they probably will, but this is probably still on a team-by-team basis, and I imagine coaches are going to have a good talk with their players this week and talk about, you know, we've got enough stuff going on with COVID. Let's not make it worse by you being out, because we need every man available for every play. So play smart. Don't be dumb. Stick up for your guys, but don't be dumb about it. Don't start finding people.
Yeah. Well, let's get down to the last –
This one's my favorite.
This one was kind of interesting. Like, there, you know, I'm not sure that the right person got tossed here. So, the Bears being the Bears, they've had enough issues. They're kind of, you know, sly fit in their division, trying to make something happen here. A lot better since getting rid of Trubisky, but. You've got Javon Wims going up against C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So C.J. G.J. Try getting all that out there. And Javon Wims ends up, and we'll go over this in a second, he's the one who gets tossed out. But it's C.J. G.J., everything I keep reading, that shows that he's been the instigator. Like, the entire day, nitpicking everything he can, sticks a finger into, who was it, Anthony Miller's face mask the week before. Oh, and I think these two played against each other in college. I want to say one of them was from Florida and one of them's from Georgia.
So they've got a history there.
So they've got some history. But then you've also got, what was it? He got in a fight with somebody at New Orleans before he got who else got tossed out this week? Michael Thomas?
He did not play.
Right. That was a pre-game decision because he was in trouble.
Oh, he was in from fighting with a teammate in practice, but also that hamstring. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the teammate in practice was CJGJ.
Oh, CJGJ.
Okay. Now. So then CJGJ, after sticking a finger in a Miller's face mask, comes back in, has a couple routes with Wims, and at one point rips Wims' mouthpiece out, because obviously you have no business having your hand inside the face mask, rips that out, lets him go steam that one off for a while, goes in the next play, and they're going down the field together. You see CJGJ doesn't even – here's what bothers me. He doesn't even have – he's not even looking at Wims. Wims is off the sideline, like ran off, comes back in, tries to rip his necklace off, then puts two haymakers on him, like bop, bop, and goes for a third one before now you've got all these guys jumping in on top of trying to spread this thing out. No more fighting. Is this just typical Bears behavior of lose your cool?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say typical Bears. We can't pick on John too much without him here.
Well, in all fairness, though, the Chicago team is – it's one of the original rough and tumble teams.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. I can go with that. This one, though, just coming from behind, out of nowhere, and just swinging at a guy, kind of like cold cocking him. If you're going to do it, at least let the guy see you. Like, let him know you're coming at him. Don't try to just sneak up behind him. I think I love this just because there's been so many memes and little videos of people doing this, and it's been all over the internet for the past, 24 hours or so. Yeah, I didn't really understand this fight just because it wasn't happening during a play. It wasn't something that happened. It was just this guy just got fed up with everything going on. He's like, I can't take it. So he just runs in behind him, starts throwing punches. You know what? I don't see how you can not get thrown out when the ref sees you do that, when there's no instigation in that moment right there.
Yep. So, I guess at this point too, because I've seen a couple folks call for Wims to get thrown off the team, and Matt Nagy certainly isn't condoning the actions. So if you can't keep your cool, is this something where Wims needs to go?
No,
or is this something that
– what was it last year? We had Myles Garrett and Rudolph. Is that what's the name for the Steelers quarterback who got into it? No one was saying either of them should be thrown off the team. People probably were somewhere, but, that was way worse than this. And sure, they were suspended. There were some fines levied, but that's about it. And looks like he's going to be out for 2 games, no pay. He'll be back, and things will go away. That's all. It'll be in the past.
I will say this. If New Orleans – you want guys that are going to make – especially as defenders, you want them to get in the head of the wide receiver and do that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But is he going a little too far? If you're getting into it with your teammate and then walking onto the field and getting into it with two more receivers –
yeah, I'd say that's probably taking it just a little bit far. I don't know if that's like his personality, if he's been this way his entire career or back in college, or if he's just trying to make a name for himself as a tough guy. But when you start doing it too much, yeah, you kind of get this reputation of being that guy, and you don't want to be that guy in this situation.
Yeah. So I guess all that to say, we had another one get tossed. And that did call for Wims to be suspended for 2 games with no pay.
Man,
it's because it's never the first guy. It's the guy that loses cool and
the
gets
guy
caught.
Who retaliates. Sure, and he retaliated. The ref saw it. You got to call him out on it.
Oh, that was so blatant. It was just sad.
Man, yeah. Some NFL fights, some college fights, and that whole situation between Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey still going on, since it's, a sister and then a former co-parent, I guess you could call them. I don't think they were married at any point. But yeah, that's a messed up situation there. So I can imagine if they do play again on the field, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another fight between them at some point.
Yeah. All right, well, with that, let's go ahead and drop the checkered flag. Had some interesting topics tonight, and I got us a little bit off what our original stuff was at the start, but that's what you get when it's just us and John isn't able to make it. So, final thoughts this week, David, as we go into, I guess, some more crazy weeks of football and sickness and moving all that along.
Well, my Liberty Flames are ranked for the first time in school history at number 25 on the AP poll. Taking on a big test in Virginia Tech this Saturday. So if they can Come out and Virginia Tech with a win, be 7-0. I'd have to imagine they'd at least be top 20 after that, which would be really cool. And then on the other end of the spectrum, my poor Panthers, 3-5, got embarrassed by the Falcons on national TV on Thursday, and playing the Chiefs this week. So you know that's going to be a doozy. Excited for a game, but yeah, I'm not excited for the results of that game. So, teams playing this weekend. One I'm expecting good things out of. The other one, I will be surprised if they keep it within two touchdowns.
Well, let's definitely look forward to that because after losing to Wake Forest, losing to UNC, beating Duke, whipping NC State, and having a pretty solid game against Louisville, I could see them making a run on Virginia Tech. But
Well,
Virginia Tech is going to be a
they're still good.
tough toss-up.
Yeah, and it's at Lane Stadium, which is a tough place to come in and play. So,
Oh, yeah.
granted, it might be different without a full packed house of fans. So, I don't know how that will impact the home team. Hopefully, my favor, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be an interesting week this week. Let's see. For my side, Ohio State way too much over Nebraska, had a tight game against Penn State, which makes me think they may be a little bit overrated coming into that number three spot, but they only have two games under their belt, so you know what are you going to do? This week at Rutgers won't even be a game. And
No.
then Maryland, and then you've got Indiana, which is going to be an interesting toss-up. Always is. But yeah, this is going to be some fun weeks. Hopefully, we get some cooler heads by the players.
Yeah, seriously. No fights this weekend, no ejections. Because, I
But
mean, college football's at a premium. Games are at a premium. Let's not waste them.
I will tell you, I think I am going to be eyes on the most with the Notre Dame Clemson game. Because if Clemson gets handled the loss here, they're already in a lot of places. They've already dropped the poll down to number two because of their almost loss. So then you come back to that question. If they play well this week, great. If they don't, then what? Do they deserve to be in that spot?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to put another team up there since, as you said, Ohio State's, they're only two games in. Notre Dame, I mean, if they beat them, they'd be 7-0. Right now, they're sitting at number four in the poll. Cincinnati undefeated. I don't think Georgia would make a leap up since they've already lost a game. Yeah, there's going to be some fluctuation in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Let's see. We've got. I'm still seeing Clemson in several of them. It just depends on who's putting it together. The AP poll says Clemson's still number one, but they're only two votes over Alabama.
Yeah, not much.
Ohio State's, about 100 votes under, so it's not screaming much either. And then Notre Dame, Georgia's got one loss. Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati could be an interesting play in. And I think Brigham Young is that weird Cinderella team this year. Coastal Carolina, where'd they come from?
Coastal is legit this year. And
I want to see Coastal play Michigan
who
and
beats
bury
chickens?
Michigan under their own field of tears.
Yeah, I don't know if that's happening, but Coastal's a good team.
You know what? I think we need to have a discussion around if Harbaugh is the future of the face of Michigan or if it's time for him to step aside.
Yeah, that's a good topic for another week. But yeah,
Maybe a couple
he's
weeks.
been there long enough. He's had his chance. He hasn't done much with it.
Cool. All right, with that, let's go ahead and call it a week. We enjoyed all these topics. We hope you did too. We'd love to hear from you. Dave, why don't you tell them how they can get a hold of us?
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sports Garage Pod. Check out our website, www.sportstalkgarage.com. All the information about us, previous episodes, other local podcasts in the Charlotte area we have partnered with. If you'd like to send us an email of comments, questions, feedback, something you want us to answer on the show, That is going to be feedback@sportstalkgarage.com. And if you want your voice on the show, you can call and leave us a voicemail. We'll be happy to play it, answer it live. The phone number is 704-612-0190.
Sounds good. So with that, we'll go ahead and sign off. We hope to hear from you next week, and hope we've got some, and we'll have some great new content for you. So in the meantime, this is Matt and David from Sports Talk Garage Cast, wishing you a good week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at @sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.